Here are the WGXC headlines for Monday, March 13th. A massive winter storm is expected to dump a foot of snow on most of the WGXC listening area on Monday and Tuesday, with some higher elevations possibly seeing more than 2 feet. Everything Everywhere All at Once won Best Picture at the 95th Annual Academy Awards. Three actors from the movie, Michelle Yeoh, Ke-Hu Kwan, and Jamie Lee Curtis, also won awards, as did the directors of the movie. On March 11th, former Vice President Mike Pence said, quote, President Trump was wrong, unquote, about who won the 2020 presidential election, and quote, that, quote, his reckless words endangered my family and everyone at the Capitol that day, and I know history will hold Donald Trump accountable, unquote. U.S. and British banking officials are trying to stop a run on banks after two have failed, the California Silicon Valley Bank and New York's Signature Bank. Central Hudson is raising electric rates this month. New Ulster County Assemblyperson Sarah Hanna Shressa is working to get a state health care bill for undocumented immigrants passed in Albany. And Upstate Films is adding screenings with captions at its Star Cinema in Rhinebeck and Orpheum Theater in Saugerties.
This is Stuart Moxham of The Gist, and you are listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Acre.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show as we await the storm's arrival. There is a little snow this morning here in Acre, but it's not the main event, which is coming later in the day. We might get some rain first, but then tonight the snow begins in serious quantities and continues all day Tuesday and into Wednesday morning. So keep tuned for more information here. We also have a story of corruption in Coymans today on the WGXC Morning Show, and the national headlines from the Public News Service, a local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate, and it's all coming your way after the local news and after Jason Martin from Troy is finished with this song on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
A stream runs through. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network.
You can find out about so many local events, like the traditional Irish music session. Every Sunday, there's an open Irish music jam at the Shamrock House in East Durham from 2 to 5 p.m. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org and add your own event to the WGXC community calendar and have it read on the radio at 90.7 FM by going to WGXC.org and clicking on the community calendar.
Wave Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program, administered in Greene County by CREATE, the Alexander and Marjorie Hoover Foundation, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXC's sustaining supporters, who provide critical monthly support to Wave Farm's radio station, WGXC 90.7 FM. Thank you.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Michael Murray of Cairo, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. A massive snowstorm is expected to begin on March 13th and continue March 14th, dumping more than a foot of snow on most parts of the WGXC listening area. The National Weather Service in Albany has issued a winter storm watch from 2 p.m. March 13th through 8 a.m. March 15th. The National Weather Service warns that, and I quote, heavy wet snow is expected. Total snow accumulations with 10 to 20 inches with up to 25 inches in the higher terrain of the northern and eastern Catskills possible. The storm is expected to produce heavy wet snow and strong winds Monday night through Wednesday, leading to power outages and difficult to impossible travel conditions, end quote. WTEN in Albany reports that a snow emergency has been declared in the village of Catskill, and a parking plan for snow removal will be initiated at 8 p.m. on March 13th. While the television station is reporting that news, the Village of Catskill website does not mention anything about the snow emergency. Paul Kirby reports in the Daily Freeman that Central Hudson Gas and Electric Corp. said on March 9th that electric rates are about to go up again. Beginning March 13th, electric rates will increase to 13.7 cents per kilowatt hour, up from 11.8% per kilowatt hour in February, according to Joseph Jenkins, the utility's director for media relations. Jenkins said in a statement, and I quote, while our winter has been warmer than expected overall, the region experienced a burst of cold early in February, placing some mild upward pressure on the electric supply market, end quote. Before that, the price was 14.3 cents per kilowatt hour in January, 13.7 cents per kilowatt hour in December, and 16.1 cents in November, 16.93 cents in October, 13.0 cents per kilowatt hour in September, 8.32 cents in August, 5.83 cents in July, 4.18 cents in June, and 6.12 cents last May. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. The Troy Record reports that Amtrak will open the Adirondack line by April 3rd. The upstate rail service between Montreal and New York City has been suspended for more than 2 years due to the COVID-19 global pandemic. The Adirondack line includes stops in Plattsburgh, Whitehall, Ticonderoga, Rensselaer, Port Henry, and Rouses Point. New York Senators Chuck Schumer, Kirsten Gillibrand, and Representative Elise Stefanik all attempted to take credit for the announcement with separate press releases. In fiscal year 2019, Amtrak's Adirondack line had 117,490 riders, a 5.1% increase compared to the year before. Read the full story in the Troy Record. On March 12th, the Twitter account of rock star Bruce Springsteen posted, and I quote, due to illness, Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band's concert at MVP Arena in Albany on Tuesday, March 14th, has been postponed. We are working on rescheduling the date, so please hold on to your tickets as they will be valid for the rescheduled show, end quote. With a major snowstorm predicted for March 13th and 14th, it is likely the show would have been postponed anyway. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Monday, March 13th, which is 15.8% of the way through the year with 7 days left until spring. You hear the term meteorological winter thrown around a lot, but if you buy into it, winter ended 13 days ago. Well, this week just might show some of us that seasons are punctual, and perhaps we tend to get impatient. And patience is something you're going to need over the next couple days. Local early morning temperatures range from 28 degrees in Tannersville to 37 in Kinderhook. Regional average soil temperature is still 35 degrees. And everyone is in a winter storm watch. That's right. Some of us might actually have to shovel. Or finally get to break out the snowshoes. Some light snow early this morning will fall. As things warm up, it should turn to rain and stay that way all day. In the hill towns, you can expect that to just stay snow and you get a head start. 2 inches should be on the ground by dark. Back on the ground, we see a high temperature of 39 linger most of the afternoon. Then, around 10 p.m., it drops low enough to turn things all the way to snow. 5 inches is expected to be on the ground by daybreak. A day of snow and or mixed crap falls, adding another 6 inches by dark. A high of 35 happens eventually. No one will care because they will all be well bundled up or just hiding inside. Mountain folk, expect another foot of white stuff to drop on you. 30 degrees and another inch or so of snow overnight takes us into a pretty windy Wednesday with some lingering light snow, but just in the morning. A high of 39 happens in the late afternoon. Overnight, we dip to just below freezing and have finally a calm, dry day on Thursday with a high of 46. Sunset will now magically be at 6:45 p.m. I hate daylight savings time so much. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:07 a.m. Looking way up, on Saturday, a filament exploded on the sun, releasing a CME that could impact our electromagnetic weather on Wednesday. X-class flare chances are at 1%. Solar wind speed is currently 368.5 kilometers per second at 8.7 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 8 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2.6, quiet. The current sunspot number is 135, and this is Men the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Maker Syndicate.
We love roll call, y'all. Boogie Down Productions, Rob Bass, Dana Dane, Molly Marr, Olatunji, Chuck D, Ray Charles, EPMD, EU, Alberta Hunter, Run DMC, Stetsasonic, Sugar Bear, John Coltrane, Big Daddy Kane, Salt and Pepper, Luther Vandross, McCoy Tyner, Biz Marquee, New Edition, Otis Redding, Anita Baker, Thelonious Monk, Marcus Miller, Branford Marcellus, James Brown, Wayne Shorter, Tracy Chapman, Miles Davis, Force MDs, Oliver Nelson, Fred Wesley, Maceo, Janet Jackson, Louis Armstrong, Duke Ellington, Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis, George Clinton, Count Basie, M2 May, Stevie Wonder, Bobby McFerrin, Dexter Gordon, Sam Cooke, Parliament Funkadelic, Al Jarreau, Teddy Pendergrass, Joe Williams, Wynton Marsalis, Phyllis Hyman, Sade, Sarah Vaughan, Roland Kirk, Keith Sweat, Cool Moe Dee, Prince, Ella Fitzgerald, Diana Reeves, Aretha Franklin, Bob Marley, Bessie Smith, Whitney Houston, Dionne Warwick, Steel Pulse, Little Richard, Mahalia Jackson, Jackie Wilson, Cannonball and Nat Adderley, Quincy Jones, Marvin Gaye, Charles Mingus, and Mary Lou Williams. We want to thank you all for making our lives just a little brighter here on We Love Radio.
Well, they're building a gallows outside my cell. I've got 25 minutes to go. And the whole town's waiting just to hear me yell. I got 24 minutes to go. Well, they gave me some beans for my last meal. I got 23 minutes to go. But nobody asked me how I feel. I got 22 minutes to go. Well, I sent for the governor and the whole darn bunch with 21 minutes to go. and I sent for the mayor, but he's out to lunch. I got 20 more minutes to go. Then the sheriff said, boy, I'm gonna watch you die. Got 19 minutes to go. So I laughed in his face and I spit in his eye. Got 18 minutes to go. Now here comes the preacher for to save my soul with 13 minutes to go. And he's talking about burning, but I'm so cold. I got 12 more minutes to go. Now they're testing the trap and the chills my spine with 11 more minutes to go. And the trap and the rope, oh, they work just fine. Got 10 more minutes to go. Well, I'm waiting for the pardon that'll set me free with 9 more minutes to go. But this is for real, so forget about me. Got 8 more minutes to go. With my feet on a trap and my head in the noose, got 5 more minutes to go. Won't somebody come and cut me loose? Got 4 more minutes to go. I can see the mountains, I can see the sky. 3 more minutes to go. And it's too darn pretty for a man to wanna die. I got 2 more minutes to go. I can see the buzzards, I can hear the crows. 1 more minute to go. And now I'm swinging and here I go.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
Simply put, the plan is to shrink Washington and grow America.
House Freedom Caucus Chair Scott Perry is listing ways the right-wing group wants federal spending reduced in return for raising the debt ceiling. Those include ending President Biden's student loan debt forgiveness, rescinding COVID-19 relief funds, and cutting back the IRS funding and climate change prevention in last year's Inflation Reduction Act. The largely symbolic cuts would have a tiny impact on the debt, and Biden seemed unmoved.
So I urge our extreme MAGA Republican friends in the Congress to put their threats aside. Join me in continuing the progress we built.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen went head-to-head with Republicans on the House Ways and Means Committee. Yellen warned members against defaulting on the national debt and defended the administration's 2024 budget plan.
Our proposed budget builds on our economic progress by making smart, fiscally responsible investments.
House and Ways Chairman Jason Smith raised concerns about the roughly $80 million the IRS got in the Inflation Reduction Act, but he also criticized the performance of Yellen's agency, which the new funding aims to improve.
The Treasury Department is woefully falling short in fulfilling its core mission.
The Federal Reserve, Treasury Department, and Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation announced that depositors at the Silicon Valley Bank and one other will be protected. The two banks have collapsed and are being taken over by regulators. New York Democrat Jamal Bowman is speaking against two bills he calls transphobic. The Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act would ban transgender women from female sports, and the Parents' Bill of Rights Act would limit LGBTQ equality efforts in education. Bowman says transgender people should be able to live their lives and be who they want to be.
Let's stop discriminating against them simply because they are different from who we are and different than what we understand.
New York Representative George Santos stands accused of masterminding a 2017 credit card skimming operation that stole information from ATMs. A Brazilian man convicted of fraud told authorities Santos was responsible, which Santos denies. Likely presidential candidate Florida Governor Ron DeSantis was in Nevada over the weekend promoting his book Blueprint to Freedom, which details his accomplishments in Florida and his vision for the country.
Because woke ideology has infected so many institutions, if you really want to protect the freedom of your folks, you got to be willing to defend them against the left imposing their pathologies on your people.
Finally, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy told Fox News Sunday he'll slowly roll out access to tapes of the January 6th insurrection to other news outlets. McCarthy was criticized for releasing the footage to Fox News' Tucker Carlson. I'm Alex Gonzalez for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our A-Trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The Ohio Capital Journal and the Associated Press report that a former Ohio House Speaker and former state GOP chair were found guilty of racketeering in what prosecutors call the biggest bribery and money laundering scandal in Ohio history. Former Speaker Larry Householder and GOP Chair Matt Borges were convicted March 9th for taking money in exchange for orchestrating the passage of Senate Bill 6 in 2019. The bill shifted $1.3 billion in costs from two First Energy Corporation-owned nuclear power plants to Ohio ratepayers and gutted renewable energy standards. The legislature repealed the power plant subsidies in 2021. First Energy and other utilities pumped an estimated $60 million into 501c4 dark money groups, which helped elect Householder and several other allied candidates. Those candidates then supported Householder for Speaker in 2018. The trial showed Householder received $500,000 and expensive entertainment from First Energy, and Borges received $100,000. Charges may be pending for others, including former chair of the Public Utilities Commission of Ohio, whose associated company allegedly received $4 million from First Energy. Since then, Ohio's House and Senate committees failed to move campaign finance transparency legislation forward. We have more information on the scandal at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Thank you.
That was the Chicago-based band Tortoise from their 1996 album Millions Now Living Will Never Die. The song was Along the Banks of Rivers. Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
The Times Union a few weeks ago, early February, wrote a story about some of the conflict of interest that seemed to be evident in the town of Queemans in the southern part of Albany County along the river, Hudson River, between George McHugh, relatively recently elected as town supervisor, and his prior relationship with the owner of much of the town, particularly the Queemans port, Carver Larraway, who also runs the Carver Companies. And we did have Sarah Prusma on last week, and check our mediasanctuary.org website to talk about some of the things raised with George McHugh and the conflict of interest in the articles. But we're joined today by Ashley and Jason Redfield, who live along River Road, which by the name implies probably right along the river. And they've had some real concerns about what the Carver Company tends to be doing on some land, I guess, apparently right behind their property. So welcome, Ashley and Jason. Do you want to explain to people what's going on?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having us on.
Thank you for having us.
I guess like a couple of weeks ago, I mean, I work nights and I started hearing diesel engines in the daytime while I was trying to go to sleep. And at first I was saying to my wife, I don't know what that is. Like we thought it was just the port. And then all of a sudden there was logging equipment basically almost in our backyard. And I was like, well, as long as it stays over there, that's fine. And then it just came right up to our property line and all of the trees were gone. So I guess that's where we're at right now.
Yeah, basically 15 acres of forest were just torn down what seemed like overnight, and nobody bothered to reach out to us. Nobody told us what would be happening, what was going on, what the intended use for this property was to be. And still to this day, since I began first asking questions, I first started at town hall with a FOIL request and then put in a request with the DEC. Ultimately, they told me that it was just a general use permit, that they were allowed to do all of this, clear cutting with. And basically since then, I've just been asking questions. I've reached out to Carver. I've left emails, messages, nobody's returned any of my calls. Everybody at town hall just basically seems to act like nothing's happening here.
Or we've been kind of like stonewalled, I guess. There was a town thing.
Well, let me give you a little background to the listeners. So Port of Queemans is part of this $200 million grant State of New York did to develop offshore wind. Most is going to Port of Albany, some is to Port of Queemans. So just, reading articles, it seemed like, as you said, they've not really disclosed what they're going to do with this land. Some conjecture is might be where they'll dump the construction and demolition debris, from what their expansion they could do with the port, maybe something else to do. But knowing at City Hall, knowing at Town Hall, Carver not willing to provide answers.
Apparently last night at the town meeting, it was the first time that anything
that anybody actually
from Carver said like what their intended use of the land was gonna be. But I mean, if that was the case, why couldn't it have been said to us from the get-go? Like the whole idea of being a good neighbor is to everybody that bought a house in this area has bought a house under the idea that we've got this forest behind us. Uh-huh. And they basically ripped that away from us in the course of a day. And why wouldn't you just tell the residents what's going on? Like if it's going to be agricultural or residential or whatever, why wouldn't you just say I'm going to use this land for cows?
Yeah.
Just reach out.
And over the last week, they put up all these signs that say no trespassing, video surveillance, you know, violators will be prosecuted. And it's like, if you're just, you know, gonna clear out the trees and turn it into a farm, why not just say that? And why be so sneaky about it? And why now are you like, they're paying people to sit in a security vehicle and patrol. What are you hiding? You know, it just, I feel like the further we dig, the more questions we get. And that's what I'm confused about. And even if they say that it's just going to be agricultural residential use, I just don't know if I can believe that because the trust has already been violated.
And,
you know?
And it's on the riverfront. Right. So
yeah, I was going to ask you, maybe you could describe, you know, River Road. So I assume it's sort of close to the river. And, you know, I know in my town, I used to be on my town board, you know, the general rule, besides supposed to be good neighbors and town officials supposed to be good, you know, public officials, you know, sort of if you're applying to do something, especially like clearing land or building something, you're actually supposed to notify and write in the people who are adjacent to the property. So I assume none of that has occurred. And nothing. So at this point, they're saying they're not doing this part of the port expansion, but it's agriculture and residential construction, or are they clear what they're saying?
I mean, they're saying that this particular piece of land they're planning on using for residential / agriculture. But like I said, this is the first we've heard from it, and that was from last night's town board meeting. But I also know that the land next to it on the same road has been discussed as a potential spot for them to do stuff for their port expansion. So,
yeah, it states in their report that 87 Bronc has been identified as a location where they're going to be dumping fill, presumably from the dredging. But we've also heard that there are materials that are at the port that they're going to need to relocate and so that they can grade, and we don't know what's in those that fill, you know. And so we're just like wondering, are they going to try and secretly relocate something onto that property that could potentially contaminate our well water, because everybody over here is on a well. And you know, I just, even if they're maintaining right now that it's just going to be this like residential agricultural area, it just doesn't make sense for that to be the case.
And my recollection is particularly with Carville Arroway is that, you know, he has pushed a number of proposals that have generated a lot of opposition in the community, burning tires at the Lafarge cement plant where they'd be imported at the port, and then also some type of ash landfill. And so they have been, you know, rejected, but then he has now basically invested more resources in order to take political control of the town. And it doesn't seem like, democracy is the focal point right now of how government is operating in Queens. Would that be accurate?
I don't feel like residents are, if they're being heard, I don't think that they're being taken seriously.
We're certainly not considered. We're not a high priority. I feel like in this town, it's just the big businesses that matter, and the residents just don't matter. And it's very sad.
Now, we have only about a minute left. I understand there's a couple upcoming meetings where some of this is going to be discussed.
Yes. We're going to be hosting a couple of meetings on March 14th and the 18th. They're going to be at the RCS Community Library, and we're basically asking the anybody who's interested, anybody that this affects, to come down and to express their opinions on it. And I guess people from Carver Co. are going to be there, and who knows, maybe people from the town board. And I feel like if we could get the whole community together in one room and have a discussion about this.
An open dialogue.
Yeah. That maybe we can get some clear answers and we can express our frustrations and the way that this has been approached, you know?
So we've been talking with Ashley and Jason Redfield, River Road residents and town of Queemans. If people want more information about the situation, is there a website or anything?
Yes. There is Clean Air
Coalition.
AlbanyCounty.org.
Thank you very much. And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Recent report finds nursing homes across New York are going without proper oversight. AARP New York's report finds about 80% of New York City's almost 300 nursing homes, assisted living, and adult care facilities didn't receive a single visit from the state's long-term care ombudsman program during a three-month period in 2022. The reason for this is that the program has long been underfunded, a trend that's set to continue in Governor Kathy Hochul's latest budget. Richard Mollett with the Long-Term Care Community Coalition explains what would improve the ombudsman program and keep nursing homes accountable for patient care.
The Department of Health needs to do a better job. You know, the surveyors are inspectors. They need to be equipped and supported to ensure that residents are safe and that facilities are not allowed to perpetuate poor care and demeaning conditions.
He adds that what's critically needed is a professional ombudsman staff to meet the needs of nursing home residents. This means regularly monitoring facilities, providing support to residents, and being a voice for residents, too. AARP New York is calling on a commitment of $15 million in state funding for the ombudsman program to ensure it has enough staff to follow through with serious complaints from nursing home residents. Trends for nursing homes across the state weren't much better. The report finds that more than a half of facilities throughout New York failed to receive one visit from a long-term care ombudsman. But outside of this program, there are challenges nursing homes have been facing for some time. Lindsay Heckler with the Center for Elder Law and Justice says one challenge that needs to be addressed is staffing.
The rules and regulations that are in both federal and state law need to be fully enforced. So, for example, New York State has the minimum staffing standards that are in effect. The state needs to make sure nursing homes are doing their job and meeting those bare minimums.
Issues with staffing in nursing homes have been ongoing, but were exacerbated by the COVID-19 pandemic, according to a report from the American Healthcare Association and the National Center for Assisted Living. From February 2020 to December 2022, nursing homes across the U.S. lost more than 210,000 workers. I'm Edwin J. Vieira, New York News Connection. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Renewable Weather Forecast for Monday, March 13th. And we begin each renewable weather forecast with the price of fossil fuels in Greene County. The Mobil in Cairo has gas at $3.35 a gallon. That's the lowest according to the Gas Buddy website. The air quality forecast is also low on Monday, a 23. The UV index, again, a low, a 1. The Hudson River water temperature in Albany is 39.36 degrees Fahrenheit, and over the past 10 years on March 13th, it's averaged 37.99 degrees Fahrenheit, so it's a degree and a half warmer than average. The National Weather Service in Albany has issued a winter storm warning from 2 p.m. March 13th through 8 a.m. March 15th, as a lot of snow is on the way. The snow is likely early in the morning, but maybe also rain in many locations throughout the day, with a high of 35 on Monday and a southeast wind 6 to 8 miles per hour spinning local windmills. 1 to 3 inches of snow is possible on Monday. Tonight, more rain and snow is possible, becoming all snow after 8 p.m. throughout the region. Snow could be heavy at times, with a low around 31 and 7 to 11 inches possible. Tuesday, more snow is forecast, heavy at times, high of 34 and a north wind 10 to 16 miles per hour with gusts as high as 26 miles per hour. New snow accumulation Tuesday, 10 to 14 inches possible. Tuesday night, snow is forecast, mainly before 2 a.m., with a low around 28, blustery conditions with a northwest wind 21 to 24 miles per hour and gusts as high as 38 miles per hour. So heavy snow, wet, heavy snow because of the warm temperatures with winds as high as 38 miles per hour Tuesday night. So power could be out in many locations throughout the region, and an additional 2 to 4 inches of snow could fall on Tuesday night. Wednesday, it could snow in the morning, but mostly it's over with cloudy skies, a high of 34, but windy, a northwest wind 26 to 32 miles per hour with gusts as high as 48 miles per hour on Wednesday, and a low around 25 Wednesday night. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears.
I've got my mind set on you. I've got my mind set on you. I've got my mind set on you. I know what I've got. It's gonna take money, a lot of spending money. It's gonna take hard money to do it up right, child. It's gonna take time, a lot of precious time. It's gonna take patience and time. Oh, to do it, 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 to do it. Everywhere I go, you know that love
on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on, hold on, with a grip so tight it dams my blood, makes my head feel light. Well, hearts will start and hearts will stop and the blood will flow until we drop. Blood flow. Can I borrow your machete? In this wonderful world, in this beautiful world, hold on. Spill and blood will spurn enemies. Keep the mind alert. A blood.
Thank you. stuck by this river, you and I, underneath the sky that's ever falling down, 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 ever falling down. Through the day, as if on an ocean, waiting here, always failing to remember why we came. I wonder why we came. Chosen from another time.